Life Audio.
Hey there, friend. Heather Creekmore here. You're listening to the Compare to Who podcast. And today's show is really special because we did it as a live podcast. Yes, I asked all of you on my email list if anyone would want to come and be a part of a live podcast recording with my friend, eating disorder specialist, dietitian. I mean, Amy, I can't even like capture Amy in those words alone. But Amy Carlson, she's a friend of the show. She's been on the show a number of times. And I asked her if she would participate. And so today, Amy and I have a great conversation. And then we had about a 30-minute Q&A session, which will air in the next show that will come out this Friday. Friends, a part of our discussion today was inspired by my brand new book, The 40-Day Body Image Workbook, Help for Christian Women Who've Tried Everything. Hey, we're getting towards the end of January. Did you have a goal you set January 1? How's it going? Hey, I hope your goal was to read my 40-Day Body Image Workbook. And if it was, I think today's conversation will fit nicely with some of the content you're reading there. If you haven't grabbed it yet, hey, go grab your copy of the workbook. There is still a facilitator's guide on my website. So if you want to grab some friends, maybe even a small group at your church, bring some women together. You can't meet 40 times. I know that. So I have it all set up so you can meet 10 times and go through the content together in a way that makes sense. I even give you hints as to how to facilitate it well. So grab that facilitator's guide at improvebodyimage.com and go to the page for this new 40-day body image workbook. Scroll down and you'll find the link to the facilitator's guide there. Hey, I'm also looking for my next coaching group. Should you be part of it? Maybe. Maybe if you want to be free this year, hey, there is nothing better, in my opinion, that you could do. So check that out. I'm offering a start for 40 bonus, but that deal ends really quickly. So shoot me an email, heather@comparedtowho.me, if you want to get in on our next coaching group. And hey, if you love this concept of a live podcast and you're like, why didn't I learn about that? You need to be on my email list. Go to improvebodyimage.com, sign up for the 5-day body image challenge. You can be part of the list so you can learn about special opportunities like this. I'm going to do this live podcast thing again. I thought it was really fun. So get on the list if you want to be part of one. You can ask your questions to my guest and to me and just learn a lot and have fun. Welcome to Compared to Who, the podcast to help you make peace with your body so you can savor God's rest and feel His love. If you're tired of fighting body image the world's way, Compared to Who is the show for you. You've likely heard lots of talk about loving your body, but my goal is different. Striving to fall in love with stretch marks and cellulite is a little silly to me. Instead, I want to encourage you and remind you with the truth of Scripture that you are seen, you are known, and you are loved no matter what your size or shape. Here, the pressure is off. If you're looking for real talk, biblical encouragement, and regular reminders that God loves you and you're not alone, you've come to the right place. I hope you enjoy today's show, and hey, tell a friend about it. Hey there, welcome to the Compared to Who show. I'm Heather Creekmore, and I am so excited to be hosting for the first time ever a live podcast with my good friend Amy Carlson. You may have heard Amy on the show before. Amy is a dietitian. She's an eating disorder expert, and she is just a fabulous human being who loves the Lord and knows her Bible. And she's really fun too. So I am excited you are here for it. And I'm also excited that we've got a virtual studio audience. Yeah, I guess that's what you call it. Virtual studio audience of some lovely women who have agreed to be part of our conversation today and bring their questions and really just, you know, be a part of responding live to the conversations that we have. So, Amy, our topic for today is January. Right? Like in January, okay, everything. I mean, the number of diet commercials, I don't even watch that much television, but in the little bit of TV that I watch, I have a feeling it's 50% of the ads are about weight loss and, you know, meeting your New Year's goal this year, that sort of thing. And then to make it trickier, we've got messages from the church that seem to be telling us the same thing. right? Like January, a lot of churches do a church-wide fast, or maybe even encourage like a specific program like the Daniel Fast written by Rick Warren a number of years ago. There's some messages from church that are even confusing these issues a bit. And where I would love to start today, Amy, this is territory that you and I have covered before in other podcast episodes. I guess we need to hear it again and again to really believe it, especially because these other messages are telling us the same things over and over again, and it's confusing. So let me start with this question. Amy, am I more righteous if I'm following a diet plan?
She didn't think I was going to say it like that, did you?
She started strong. Oh, she's like coming and swinging. No. Yeah, let's just start. Yeah, that actually, when I have January clients, when I get to see my beautiful, precious clients in January, I don't think a lot of them would ask me that question, but they're asking it in a lot of different ways. What they're feeling is a whole lot of shame, and it's coming in kind of a backdoor way that isn't quite as obvious as your question, which I appreciate you asked it that obvious because we can just cut to the chase. But they're feeling shame because everyone around them is taking care of their health and honoring God and doing that. And so I'm going to use that language, right, just to see how kind of it can get veiled. Nothing wrong with taking care of our health. There's nothing wrong with honoring God. Those are, Lord, thank you for those things. We want to do those things. But in context of what we're talking about here today and the diet culture, there is, you know, I'm, for good or for bad, not on social media. For good for me, I guess, for my brain space. But I sit with clients who are showing me over and over, right? Or I do get on Pinterest. I'm looking for travel stuff and recipes, right? And I am, first of all, I didn't know how many problems I had until I'm on Pinterest. I'm like, I didn't know that part of me needed fixing. I didn't know. I didn't even know I had that part. I didn't know I had that part until I got on Pinterest. And so the feeling that we are doing it wrong, and then you put that in context with the church or church culture or my faith or my relationship with God, it could translate into exactly what you said. I'm maybe not as righteous. I don't think we think of it in terms of that language. I don't think that that's necessarily what we're journaling. I don't feel as righteous, but I think we feel a whole lot of shame. I think we feel a whole lot of shame. And then we feel this extra layer of shame. If I'm wanting to get well and I'm walking away from my years of dieting or diet culture or recovering from an eating disorder, but I don't feel great in my body, either physically, like I have aches and pains, or I'm wanting to, feel better with my aches and pains in my body, or I just don't feel good. So I feel good because I'm leaving the diet culture, but I don't feel great because I don't love my body. And we have this whole sort of tension that we carry, which is, I must be doing it wrong. I must be doing this wrong. Because if I was doing it right, I would feel great and love God and love people and love myself. And so I think we get stuck there. And January sort of puts the magnifying glass on that, puts a big old magnifying glass and makes us feel those feelings times 10.
Yeah. Yeah, I love the way you just said that I did an interview this morning, and one of the places that we kind of went, it was like a 45-minute segment. So, you know, it's morning radio drive time. So a song plays and we're chatting a little bit and then we come back. But one of the conversations we had while the music was playing was this concept where the DJ's just like, I just don't know how I could be free with food, right? If I was free with food, then, like, you know, I would just eat pizza all day, every day. And kind of deeper than that was this, you know, but I struggle, right? Like, I want to do this right. I want to do this well. And kind of the place we came to was like, you know, it really is only diet culture that makes us this promise of a struggle-free life, right? It's really diet culture that says you're a before, guess what? I'll make you an after. And then whoo, your problems will all go away.
Yeah.
And so I think that that is part of the tension, right? Like we don't want to feel messy or uncomfortable. We want to feel good. But then we lob on that whole practical, like, well, you will feel better if you're XYZ for your health, right? Like, how do you help clients like navigate that whole like feel better versus feel better?
That makes sense. Yeah. You know, I have a sweet client that we use this language. I have used it with several, but we've talked about that the diet culture has hijacked health. Right. It's hijacked the idea of health. So if I'm dieting, then I'm pursuing my health, and anything related to that, anything related to, you know, if, and I'll just give you a really simple, I want to give you a couple funny examples. And my sister-in-law would giggle, if she was on here, she would like to be on here, but she wouldn't know how to do the tech piece. So she'd be like, wait, what are we doing? But when our kids were younger, she used to say, we'd take our kids to the park and she'd say, do you want me to get you Sonic, or are you trying to be good? Right? Do you want me to get you Sonic, or are you trying to be good? And I would say, sister, do I want a Sonic? Let me see. No, but that doesn't mean I'm good or I'm trying to be good, right? Some days I do want a Sonic, some days I don't want a Sonic. Or if I'm eating an apple for a snack, I can't tell you how many times somebody would say to me, oh, that's a great dietitian snack, or right, rather than it just being an apple, I'm eating an apple with peanut butter. So the tension also is, and that was the struggle that you're talking about that DJ had, which is to say, well, if I'm not following a plan, if I'm not following somebody telling me what to do, I will, centrifugal force takes me over here to do this other thing that everyone automatically does. Well, ironically, our bodies are actually pretty amazing the way they're made. You know, studies show with kids who are given sort of free range food and given a variety of food and all these different foods, and they're given, you know, permission to eat, they gravitate towards a wide variety of food and stop when they're full. So our bodies actually don't, but when we mount it into this, right, good, bad, and before, after. And so even in the questions or the dialogue with that DJ this morning, what she's saying is, I need the diet culture to help me be healthy. And that's just a lie. That's a lie. And what we have done, it's a lie from a $1 billion industry. It's a lie from a $1 billion industry. But it's also a lie that's going on kind of in our Christian subculture. For sure. I know I've talked about it on here before. I get a little pepped up, and that's why I'm glad to see faces today. I just kind of see some of this, kind of see some thumbs up on this, right? The diet culture kind of, right? And then the church gets a little like in there, and they're doing their thing, and they're like, hey, if you want to steward your body well, we're going to do this. If you want to steward the temple and you're going to honor the Lord, and it's like, whoa, it feels like mounting shame. What am I doing, right? So now if I say yes to the Sonic, I guess I'm not honoring the Lord with my body. It's like, wow, wait, oh, I'm dizzy. Now I'm dizzy. Is anybody dizzy? I'm dizzy, right?
You're a dizzy, yeah. Emoji. Everyone can throw out that.
I'm dizzy. Yeah. So when the diet culture and the Christian diet culture hijack the idea of health, then anything related to that is diet culture. So if I'm not doing a diet, then I'll eat pizza until it's coming out my eyeballs is what, right, the DJ maybe said. So she didn't say that, but I just added that as a sort of.
As a visual.
She said, as a visual. Mm-hmm. I might as well picture pizza coming out your eyeballs. Pizza, cheese pizza coming out your eyeballs.
Well, let's just poll the audience we have here.
Okay.
I mean, so how many of you on this call today have felt messages from church or from, you know, from your church community or even like church culture at large? How many of you have felt messages that seem to tell you were holier or more righteous or
What other words would you add to that, Amy?
Stewarding well what God's given you.
Right? Have these been messages you've heard in the church?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're getting some yeses. We're getting quite a few yeses.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And your places are all switching for some reason.
I know. That was fascinating. I was like, tracking. Where did Heather go?
I don't know what's happening there. So, I mean, this is familiar territory for most of us. Amy, why? Like, let's go to the self-control question, which you and I did two episodes on that, but it's probably been at least a year, maybe 2 years since we've had that conversation. So I know I've got a lot of new listeners. Like, self-control, as I grew up in church, meant only eating two cookies instead of three, or, you know, saying no to dessert when it wasn't a weekend or whatever. I mean, there was all kinds of crazy rules around that. But that's not really what biblical self-control is it, Amy?
No, it's interesting, actually, though. I think when I was young, if we heard the language of self-control in the church, there was a lot of things it was talking about, right? Self-control and how we manage ourselves and our relationships and how we spend our time, how we use our words, self-control. But now if you said self-control, right? If you said self-control, everyone would relate it to food. And most people would relate it to food.
Yeah.
And so you and I have had this conversation in terms of, you know, just how funkity dunkity dunk it got when, like, in the 70s, 80s, 90s, in terms of church, there was a lot of crazy, crazy language as it related to, you know, just honoring God with your body, but this is how you did it. And it would be like 600 calories a day or 800 calories a day. And then I've shared on here, and my sweet mama, who's 87 and would want her testimony to bring glory to God and to help other women, her sweet little, you know, diaries would say, "Lord, I just confess my lack of self-control." And it would be because she had crackers with her tuna, you know, my lack of self-control. And I mean, I remember reading these when we were going through stuff as we were cleaning our phone, I just crying and thinking, my mom, the weight and shame that my mom felt around the fact that she was so hungry that she added some crackers to her tuna, right? Which is, let's just say tuna. Okay. I mean, it can't, I don't know. Anyone? Okay.
Yes, exactly. You got a sad face for tuna.
I know. Sad face for tuna, but sad face for my mom, right? Sad face for my mom to think her confession to the Lord. And the thing is, my mom's little Bible was worn out, but she had read that thing and it was highlighted and underlined and pencil marked. And my mom loves Jesus, loved the Lord. And the message she got, and most all that little clunkety clunk of books was written by men that were, one was like an army doctor, one was like it was a psychologist, think yourself thin, you know, pray yourself thin. And again, the message is, holy cow, if you're not thin, you're not honoring God. And so self-control means I have to control the flesh, which again, this is a whole doctrine language that gets all messy mess, in order to honor God. And that means whatever diet culture rules people are purporting at that time. So here's how crazy that is. If I'm to honor God, in the 80s, it would have been, I'm not going to eat any fat, right? Oh, but now that would be like, no, of course you can get you an avocado, right? But if I'm not to honor God right now, I'm not going to have, just mouth it, everybody, carbs, right?
Carbohydrates.
If I'm to honor God, that's crazy. What that says is the church, but also the diet culture is using, right, moving targets to some, but the church is using the diet culture, a $1 billion industry, to, right, to ping and go, oh, that is what we consider honoring God.
What? That's so crazy, you guys.
That's so crazy. No, no. Right? We just got to say, let's just shake our heads. No way. We got to. And the thing is, if we, this is all the time. This is the conversations I'm having here on this couch and in this office all the time. Church leaders, church, you know, worship leaders, pastor, you know, this precious worship pastor and his wife came and they just wanted to get healthy. And then I said, oh, darling, you've had an eating disorder, right? You've had this eating disorder for you. No. We went away on retreat. And one of the things we came to is we need to honor God with our health. And what they were saying was we need to get thinner, right? So they were so amazing and so receptive to what the truth of how, if the gospel's not good news, guys, it's not the gospel. And it is for all of us and every part of us. And Lord, teach us. We want to know. And so they were like, whoa. So they were like, so you're not going to give us a meal plan? At the end of the first session, they're just like, just to be clear, is that okay? We just want to make sure. I was like, I'm not going to.
Well, and Presley used in the chat that we're monitoring for questions here. Presley used this language that I've heard in church too, that we have to discipline our flesh into submission. And you and I, we also did episodes that might've just been last year on the flesh. Will you just speak briefly to that concept?
Yeah. So what's so interesting is if we're talking about disciplining the flesh, which there is a lot in scripture to talk about sanctification, and our sin is sin, right? Sin is sin. And we got to take sin seriously. We live in a culture that doesn't take sin seriously. And when we use God's name in vain in order to promote dieting, well, we got to take that seriously. We got to crucify the flesh, right? When we use God's name in vain and say, that's, oh Lord, please hold, we got to hold each other accountable. If we're talking about, you know, crucifying the flesh, and then we've got to talk about where we're spending our time with our eyes. What are our eyes viewing? What are our ears hearing? What are we reading? Where is the right object of our desire? Is it the Lord? Is the Lord the object of our desire? Then if we're talking about crucifying the flesh, we're using that language to say, I would like to be a size 6 in my pants. And so if I crucify the flesh, then the Lord is going to bless this effort because I'm doing something biblical and spiritual. And now I'm honoring God by being in the smaller size. Wow. I've just gone on a labyrinth and I don't even know how to get out now. Right. I'm like, where did I go? And the thing is, guys, we're cheering each other on in this. We're as Christians, we're like, and I have this. Okay. I'm going to try not to get like, you know, I get revved up. Any hearts? Can I guys see some
bring
hearts?
It. Just, bring it, Amy. Bring just... it. We like the rev. We're good with up. The rev. You got just... lots of hearts for the rev. And okay. An applause.
Okay, good. I had a client this week who again said, I spent 20 years, who she didn't know she was had anorexia till we met. And she said, I got 20 years. 20 years of applause from the church for being sick, 20 years of admiration, 20 years in the church of saying, you look great. Wow. How do you do it? How do you do it with that many kids? And how, wow, you're so thin. And she's freer than she has ever been. And she is not the same size. Thank you, Lord. Her body's recovering and her body's healing. And she is free of the obsessive thoughts about food and body. She enjoys all foods. She takes care of her health. She's present with her children. Her children are growing in their understanding of just normal eating because they're now with a mom who's eating. And she is getting nothing. Like, zoop. Like, people who used to talk to her aren't talking to her. And she said, I don't know anyone in the church. Like, nobody's here who understands this, because the only language is, well, the messaging feels like she must have let herself go. I wonder how her relationship with the Lord is, right? And nobody, Not one person. I mean, I've asked this question several different ways because I thought this can't be true. I've seen pictures of what she looked like. Not one person in the church said, "Hey, are you okay? You know, you've had four babies. you are a mom. And I never see you eat with us." Nobody said, "Are you okay?" You know what? They were jealous of how thin she was. Jealous. Hey guys, we got to look at each other and go, "Hey, tell me more. Tell me more of yours. Tell me how you are. We're not paying attention." Oh, I'm going to cry. We're not loving each other well. You want to talk about crucifying the flesh?
Right.
Let it be our desire to look a certain way so that the world praises us instead of Jesus Christ. Right. That's the flesh we got to crucify.
Right. Right. Let me just.
Go ahead. No, you go.
I was going to repeat that for anyone who didn't hear it, but crucifying the flesh is really crucifying that desire for the applause and the glory that belongs to the Lord alone. And you know what? That's a whole lot harder than it is to go on a diet and lose 10 pounds. Right. I mean,
which is a repeated cycle.
Right. Anyway. Right. Because gain it back and then lose it again.
And so the enemy mm-hmm. because he keeps us distracted from the good things, the kingdom things. And here's the thing. This is why I don't retire. Mm-hmm. I want to hang up a shingle. But here's one of the reasons that I don't. Because if believers get this, we push back the darkness in a space that is invaded with darkness. We push back the darkness and we walk in the light. And guys, we have an opportunity Amen. To do this because we have a voice. All you have to do is be another woman, right? And men, I mean, but we get to say to each other, "Hey, you know what? I'm gonna share with you my experience." Or if somebody says, "Wow, something's different about you," I want to tell you what's different. "I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live in body, I now live by faith," right? It's like, "Oh Lord, yes." And guys, this is in bodies that come and go. I've got different pant sizes in my closet. Sometimes I'm like, "Whoa, what'd you want?" You know, I don't, "Ooh, okay," right? I have a weird knee, right? It's like, "Oh gosh, that knee is a bum knee. What's going on with that knee? Why am I limping when I stand up?" You know, it's like, "Oh, are we getting our period? Are we not getting our period? Is this menopause? I've never seen all so many I've never seen so many perimenopause commercials. And I'm just like, man, all you had to do was search one question, guys. It's like, right? I mean, Lord, we can invade this space with the truth of the gospel.
Amen.
It's good news. It's good news.
Amen.
And sin is sin. And I confess it first. Let me be the first to confess, because the world is constantly telling us what to look like. Constantly. When you're 20, when you're 25, when you're 30, when you're 35, when you're 11, the sweet baby girl who is, oh my goodness, she was in here yesterday. She's now 16. She was 11 when she first started with her eating disorder because she got a phone and she started looked up Pinterest, and she said, "I didn't know anything was wrong with my body till I was looking up a cookie recipe on Pinterest." And then there was the dancing banana. Remember the dancing banana that used to be everywhere telling you not to eat bananas? It was like, "Why is there a banana on my screen?" Right. And she said, "I didn't know," and went into a full blown eating disorder. She is walking in so much freedom. The world is telling us how to look and how to be and how to act. And we've got to be in the word to know how to look and how to be and how to act.
Yeah. Amen. And thank
goodness we don't all look the same. That would be weird. What if we were all on the screen looking the same? That'd be so weird.
Absolutely. It would be weird. It would be hard to tell each other apart.
It'd be hard to tell each other apart.
But you know, it makes me think, and I'm going to say this very gently, I hope. Gently might not be my spiritual gift. I'm working on growing in that. But you know, I always get the pushback on gluttony, and I've done episodes on that. You and I have talked about that, but I rarely get pushback on envy, right? But if you look at the sins on the New Testament lists, right? Envy is there. Gluttony is not on those lists, right? And so, like, to kind of loop back to what you're saying about like our role in the church, like we got to stop assuming things.
Yeah.
About women who wear the size we wish, quote unquote, wish we wore. Oh, hey, friend, if you think this conversation is good, it's only just begun. But unfortunately, the Q&A part of our live podcast was so long, I couldn't attach it to this episode. So wait until Friday and you can hear all the questions and Amy's answers that came from our live audience. Some were very specific about digestive issues after eating disorders and how to cope with those kind of things. And then others were more general. But I think you'll get a lot out of the Q&A session. So come back Friday and you'll hear the Q&A portion of our live podcast. I hope something today has helped you stop comparing and start living. The Compared To Show is part of the Life Audio Network of Christian Podcasts. For great Christian content, go to lifeaudio.com.
No matter what you're going through, you are not alone. Sis, if you've experienced pain in your father-daughter relationship, I want you to know that you are loved and seen. I'm Kia Stevens, host of the Hope for Women with Father Wounds podcast, and I created my show to help you exchange your father wounds for the love of God the Father. Join me for encouragement, wisdom, and scripture. Just search Hope for Women with Father Wounds on lifeaudio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.